We're going to invite our host teams to come on up and take up an offering. Thanks, host teams, for doing that and coming and being here. And just want to welcome all of you and let you know we're just really excited that you're here, really glad to be with you this morning. Many of you know, I'll just go ahead and start with this, many of you know that two Wednesdays ago, my father passed away, and we had his funeral here on Monday, and about a few over 800 were here for the funeral. We had about 1,300 for calling hours. So I want to say thank you for all the food and the gifts and the flowers and the cards and the cards and the cards and the emails and the texts. We appreciate all of your love and support. And many people have asked me, Tom, how you doing? Let me just say, I am doing great and it is well with my soul. So we're going to continue. We know where my dad is, and he's rejoicing. One quick story, I wasn't going to think about telling this, but my daughter Olivia, she's my middle daughter, she's a little bit sensitive, and she walked in my bedroom. I was still sleeping the night that my dad passed. I got back about 8 in the morning from being with him, my mom, and my family, and so I was still sleeping, and Olivia walked in, and she woke me up, and she said, Dad, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. And she's 10, and she said, she's 11, sorry. August birthday, give me a break on that one. And so she said to me, she said, Dad, you know how Papa was a big Ohio State fan? This is the first thing she says to me. I said, yeah, I know. She said, well, now he has heaven-side seats to all the games. Just the victories, baby. Okay, we're in Romans, and you might have been with us through Romans. We did 8 weeks in chapter 8. I was going to preach on chapter 9 last week, but we really wanted to sync up some scripture in chapter 10 with our fall ministry kickoff. So we'll come back to chapter 9 at some point, but we're going to jump today in Romans chapter 10, and we're going to begin right here in verse 5. And so Paul says to us in Romans 10:5, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commands shall live by them. Now, Paul is talking about salvation. He's talking about salvation and how we have salvation with God. And he says, in the Old Testament, under the law, under Moses, you had to follow the commands. He who lives by the commands shall live. That's how we understand. But then Paul says in verse 6, but the righteousness based on faith says something different. There's something new. So just so you understand clearly, Paul's saying in the Old Testament, here was the system for salvation. It began by Jewish people knowing the law and obeying the law. And by obeying the law, eventually, at some point, they could earn God's love and they could earn God's favor. They could be favored by God and loved by him. And that favoring and love by God would eventually lead to salvation through obeying the law. That was the way it worked. But now in the New Testament, Paul says, things have changed. We now have a righteousness by faith. And here's an example, 1 John 4, 9 and 10, of how we understand things in a New Testament perspective. Here's what it says. When I stop, you guys jump in. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. You see, in a New Testament understanding, things are radically different. Things are completely different. I don't know God's law, obey God's law, then have God love me, then have salvation. Here's how it works. It begins in a New Testament understanding. When Christ comes and dies for us, it begins with God's love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his Son as an atoning sacrifice. It begins with God's love in sending Jesus Christ. God's love then comes to us that we can have salvation. That though we understand Christ died for us and rose again, we repent of our sin, we accept Christ into our life, and we have salvation. Now Paul says right here in Romans 10, two verses later, he says this. But what does it say? The word is near you, the word for salvation. It's near you. It's not far away. It's not difficult. It's not through obedience that we eventually earn God's love and eventually have salvation. No, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. It begins with God's love. Salvation is near us. We believe in our heart that God raised Christ from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we have salvation. And then, having salvation, we obey God. Now, still, the point is obeying God. In the Old Testament, you obey and have God's love and have salvation. Now, we understand God's love. We have salvation, and now we live to obey God. That's how we express to God the love we have for him. Here's what it says, 1 John 5:3. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. Now, we have God's love, we have salvation, we live to obey him. Now, you might look at that and you might say, I don't know, Pastor Tom. I'm all about obeying God, but sometimes God's commands seem burdensome. For example, God says that we should forgive our enemies. Ever tried to forgive an enemy? It's not really an easy thing. But, you know, after you extend forgiveness to anyone who's hurt you, then you would say, wow, it's not burdensome. This is exactly how I should live. God's command says that we should give a tithe. We should give of our income 10% back to God. That can certainly feel burdensome. But you know, when you tithe and you give back to God, you say, wow, this is not burdensome. I see God's blessing all over my life. God tells husbands to love your wife. And wives to respect their husbands. That might seem burdensome at times, but when you do it, it is liberating and freeing. His commands are not burdensome. Paul goes on and explains salvation to us. And he says something I really want you to understand. He says this in Romans 10, 6 and 7. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? He says, you don't have to wonder when you look around who's going to heaven or who will descend into the abyss or who's going to hell. I don't have to wonder who's going to heaven or who's going to hell because it's really clear to understand. That's what he says in verse 9. He says, because you don't have to wonder who's going to heaven or who's going to hell because it's simple to understand. You guys read the yellow. If you with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one and is justified, and with the mouth one and is saved. Now let me tell you what Paul's saying. He's saying, listen, it's not difficult. In the old system of obeying the law, you had obedience and you never knew who would go to heaven and who would go to hell. But now you don't have to ask that question. Because the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. It's about confessing and believing. Believing and confessing. Now, let's just stop for a second for some clear teaching about this. You might be wondering this. Does this mean, Pastor Tom, that I can just simply do this? I can just say a prayer and then I won't go to heaven and I'll go to hell. Here's what I'm saying clearly. It's not saying that. It's not saying I can say some magic words. And if I say some magic words, I can sin as much as I want. I can do whatever I want. And then I'm going to go to heaven. It doesn't mean that. It means this very real thing. You must believe in your heart that Jesus was God. That he came to the earth, lived a perfect life, and that God raised him from the dead. And when you believe that, you confess it. That Jesus is Lord. Now, how many of you here, just think about this. You were in some kind of difficult situation and you yelled out or you thought to yourself, I need someone to help me. I need a savior. Now, it's easy to say that. I need someone to help me. But you know what doesn't always come out of us is, I need a Lord. And it says here that we confess Jesus is Lord. Now, I want you to understand. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you should change. People should look at your life and say, wow, I saw them before this confession, and I saw them after, and their life is different. Now, I mentioned to you earlier that my father passed away. We had the funeral on Monday. And at the funeral, actually at the calling hours, there was a man that came through the line and saw my family. And my family knows him very well. His name's Jack Helton, and we all know him well. And Jack is about 6'8", so just about my size when I'm standing on the platform. And so Jack came through, and we shook Jack's. He gave me a big hug, and Jack and my dad were great friends. And here's their friendship. Jack had played professional football for the Bengals. They were probably good, you know, back then when he played for them. And he played professional football. He's a very tall, great athlete. And then Jack was out of football, and he was working in Columbus, and he went to play golf. He and his dad went to play golf. Well, by God's divine working, a man named Jeff Pound, my dad, was going to play golf on the same day. They didn't know each other. They had no relationship. They're going to tee off, and my dad said, hey, can I join your group? And they said, sure. And they begin simply playing golf together at a golf course in Columbus. And by hole three, they're talking. And by hole six, my dad says, you know, I'm a pastor in Granville. And they begin to talk about God. And by hole eight, Jack was pouring out his heart about his difficulties and about his life and where he was. And by the 18th hole, Jack was on his knees accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Yeah, absolutely. Give it up for that. No problem. Now listen, that was simply because he happened to be playing golf with my dad. Well, that didn't change. His life began to radically change. My dad said to him, listen, I'm going to tell you a church to go to in Columbus. My friend's the pastor. Start going to that church. So Jack did. He began going to church and began to grow as a Christian. And then he eventually felt God's call on his life to be a pastor. And so he pastored a small church and then a larger church and then a larger church. And then God called him to even greater things. And he can say, wow, look at his life. He now works on the state staff for Baptists here in Ohio, focusing on evangelism. And you look at his life and say, wow, he was here. He made a confession with his mouth. He accepted Christ and became saved. And his life changed and changed and changed. You don't have to wonder. Look at someone's life. Do you see change? When you look at your own life, you could say, you know what? Sometimes I have struggles, but I see change. I see that I'm not the same person that I used to be. Who can give a hand in testimony that you're not the same person that you used to be after you accepted Christ? Amen. Well, let's go on and understand exactly what Paul is saying. He says, you've got to believe this. You've got to have faith in this. Number one, verse 9, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. If you don't believe that, you can't be a Christian. This is fundamental. To understand that God raised Christ from the dead means I understand that Jesus was God, that he died for my sin, and that God raised him from the dead. When you believe that, it says in verse 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified. Secondly, it tells us this, that we must confess. That means to say, confess with our mouth. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. F.F. Bruce, Bible scholar, he actually makes this comment about this confession. He says this, it would be more appropriate to express the confession in direct speech. He would say it like this, if on your lips is the confession, Jesus is Lord. He's saying it isn't so much that you one time in your life say Jesus is Lord, but that confession is always on your lips. You're always saying it, whatever you're doing. When you're having a great day, that confession is on your lips. Jesus is Lord. When you're having a bad day, that confession is on your lips. Jesus is Lord. That confession is always on your lips. Amen? Let's finish up what it says. We understand the New Testament that they had something they called the good confession. This was the time in their life when they confessed Jesus as Lord. 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul reminds Timothy, he says this, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. There was a time in Timothy's life and my life and maybe your life when we made the good confession that Jesus is Lord. Paul's saying, live that life that you took hold of when you made that confession. We confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord. And then it says this, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. These two things happen simultaneously. We believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth. Those things coming together create salvation in a powerful way. We're justified and we're saved. Now as Paul continues, he says in verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Salvation is for everyone who calls. Now, we understand that God is first calling to us. God's calling to us by sending his son Jesus. God's calling to us through circumstances in our lives. God's calling to us through someone talking with us about Christ. But as God's calling to us, we call back to God. And that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, Paul continues, and we understand. Here's the next verse, verse 14. There are four obvious questions that you come to. If salvation isn't earned, salvation is by faith. And if everyone who calls on the Lord can be saved, there are four obvious questions that we immediately see that Paul addresses. Here's question number one, the first question, verse 14. How then can they call on him in whom they haven't believed? If you don't believe in Jesus, you can't call on him. Question two. And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? If you haven't heard of Jesus, you can't believe in him. And then the next question. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And this is obvious, right? These are obvious questions. If everyone who calls on the Lord for salvation is saved, how can you call on Jesus if you don't believe in him? You can't. And how can you believe in him if you've never heard of him? You can't. And how can you not hear unless someone preaches? Now, don't let that word stump you, that word preach. Actually, I was talking to a Bible scholar, a 9-year-old Greek scholar, and I asked her to explain this word preaching. So here she is right here to explain it to all of us. Here we go.
My name is Ella. Today I will be studying Romans 10:14. Romans 10:14 says, how can they hear if no one will preach to them? Let's focus on that word, preach. When you hear preach, you're probably thinking of this. Listen up, people. God loves you. You should obey him. The Greek word Paul uses for preach is haruso, and it simply means to proclaim openly. That's it. I simply share about Jesus. Haruso.
You guys want to give Elle a little hand, even though she's not here. She'll appreciate that. Last night, she asked me when she came to church. She said, Dad, is that video of me in the beginning, the middle, or the end? I said, honey, it's in the middle. She said, oh, great. Like, I got to wait the whole way through to hear myself. You're probably hoping I was going to say at the end, weren't you? Sorry about that. That word preach. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? That word caruso, it means proclaiming openly. They're not going to believe unless someone openly proclaims. And then this next question relates to Bobby and what he's doing. He's going to Africa. We had a team in the Philippines last January. They went because our church sent them. Here's what he says. How are they to preach unless they are sent? How are these things going to happen? Then Paul reminds us of this Old Testament passage, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. This is a big thing to understand. Everyone who calls on the Lord can be saved. But if they don't believe in him, they can't call on him. And if they don't hear about him, they can't believe in him. And they can't hear unless someone proclaims openly about Jesus. And how can they proclaim openly unless someone sends them to do that work? Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Last January, we were in the Philippines on a mission trip. And we were there on the mission trip, and somewhere near the early part of the trip, one of our teams went to a different island than I was on. And so I was going to that island to be with them and then preaching a crusade on that island. And Bobby Tucker was with me. Bobby's over there. And Bobby and I got in this little boat. Bobby actually took this picture of me right there. And we're on this little boat. And we wanted to go across from one island to the next to go and preach the gospel. That was what we were going to do. Now, interesting thing about this boat, it was rainy that day, and nobody wanted to go from one island to the next. And the boat owner told us, as best he could through the language barrier, that I had to pay 500 pesos to rent the entire boat for just Bobby and I to go across the bay. So I said, okay, fine, 500 pesos, that's like 10 bucks. No problem, I'll pay it. And so as they're preparing the boat to leave, another passenger came up. And the passenger walked up, and I watched that passenger pay money to get on the boat I rented. And then somebody else came, and somebody else. I'm like, they're going to make money both ways. They're making money for me and from all these passengers. And the next person came, and the whole boat fills up. Now, this boat could easily hold 20 Americans or 100 Filipinos on the boat. And they all get up on the boat, and they're all there, and the boat's about to leave. And the guy walks over to me, the owner of the boat walks over, and he hands me a wad of money. And I count it, and I made 300 pesos by renting out the boat and then renting it back to all these people. Praise God, what a blessing. And the boat went across. It went across this little bay, and as we're approaching, I've been to this island many times, but the first thing that you see when you come up is these little houses. There's little houses right there on a cliff on the ocean. The water is beautiful. This is poverty like you've never seen before. Bobby and I get off the boat, and we do some things on the island, meet our team, meet some pastors. We come back to that little area. And when you're walking in that little area of the island, you just walk on this road. It's just tiny. We went down this little tiny road, and we had a little worship service there. We shared the gospel. About 20 people accepted Christ. And a pastor that was with me, his name's Pastor Henry, he said, Pastor Tom, come with me. And we walked down this little path, and we kept walking. We walked past this little tiny house right there by the ocean. We're walking, and we're walking, and we're walking. And I'm a fast walker, but Pastor Henry's a super fast walker, and I'm trying to keep up with him. And we finally come back to the end of this, all these little shacks, and there's one house way back by itself. We walk up to this one house, And there's a man sitting there. And Pastor Henry explains to me, we were here yesterday. This man had had a stroke and he couldn't walk. He was sitting out here and we came up to him and we shared the gospel and he accepted Christ and we prayed for him and he began to physically get a little bit better. And he said, I want to go visit our new brother in Christ. So Pastor Henry and I walked up and here's this man who had a stroke, but now he could walk a little bit. He's doing a little bit better and he accepted Christ. And this man's son and this man's son's wife were right there with him. And we walked up and Pastor Henry said, Pastor Tom, you will share Jesus. I said, sure, absolutely. And I began to share about Christ and Pastor Henry began to translate for me. And then right there in this little spot by the ocean, this man and his father and his wife all bowed their heads. The father had been a Christian for one day. The son and his wife prayed with me to accept Christ. Here's a picture of this man, and that's Pastor Henry with the glasses, and the guy in the blue had the stroke, and that's his son and his son's wife. And in this picture, they had just prayed to accept Christ. Now, here's what I want you to understand. There's no way they would be accepting Christ if they hadn't believed in Jesus. Amen? And there's no way even Jesus unless somebody went and told them, right? And no one's, they're not going to hear unless someone tells them. And no one's going to go tell them unless a church sends that person, the Spirit sends a person to go and tell. That's what Paul's saying. There are people all around the world that need salvation. And someone is going to have to send them, and some are going to have to go. Let me tell you what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, wait a minute. Around the world? What about right here? Yeah, exactly. What about right here? Let me remind you that we live in this amazing place called Licking County. And the same thing stands here as it stands all around the world. Here's a picture of the courthouse right there in the square. I went down last February and I took these pictures thinking about this scripture and about salvation. Because everyone here in Licking County who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? What about some places like this, the Indian Mall Mall? That means these workers can call on the Lord and be saved. Or in downtown Granville, or at department stores, people can accept Christ and they can be saved. Or in downtown Granville, about to get some wits, you can pray and you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that mission is given to us to share the gospel, to go forth in the name of Christ. Now, Paul concludes this section and he says these two things. He says, verse 16, what we all know. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Sure, absolutely. There are some who hear the gospel and they don't respond. Some hear about Christ and they don't make a decision. Some hear about Christ and they don't make that profession of faith. And Paul sums up the entire section in verse 17 right here. And look what he says. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Let's look at that verse. That's the ESV translation, by the way. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Let me wrap up this sermon with three really important, clear implications of this verse. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Here's implication number one. You have to understand this. Here's what he's saying. You cannot receive salvation without clearly hearing about Jesus and inviting him to be your Lord and Savior. Amen? You believe that? Absolutely. You can't do it. Unless you clearly hear about Christ, you can't invite him to be your Lord and Savior. And that's our mission that we have, to clearly share about Christ. Now, some of you have some friends who don't believe in Christ. And you're thinking that they're going to see your example and your influence and they will one day accept Christ. And you know what? That's very likely. But they're never going to do it simply by seeing your life. They're going to do it by hearing about Christ. Amen? Here's the second implication. If faith comes through hearing, what we listen to is really important. Understand that? This is a bigger principle. If faith comes from hearing, that means I need to be hearing things that are true and that are right about God. First of all, if faith comes through hearing, that means I should be in my Bible, right? I should be reading my Bible and studying my Bible and understanding, because my faith comes from hearing the word about Christ. But what I listen to is really, really important. Because you might go someplace and hear that God loves you, and you might hear about salvation. So you have faith for salvation. But you need more faith than that. You need to understand through listening to God's word that God loves you. You have to have that faith come through hearing. And you want to have this understanding that God wants to speak to me. That's critical that you understand that. That God wants to use his holy word and his Holy Spirit to speak into your life. You've got to hear that. Faith comes from hearing. You've got to hear that so you can understand and believe this truth. You've got to hear this, that God still works miracles. How many of you guys believe that? Just raise your hand. God still works miracles. You've got to hear that. I told the story to you guys 2 weeks ago about a woman on Saturday night who has MS. Her name is Lori Fritz, and she has MS, and she's losing sight in one of her eyes. So I told her the story that she came to me 2 weeks ago, and we were standing over here, and she said, "Pastor Tom, pray for my eye." So I prayed for the one eye that was losing sight. She also went to our healing prayer team and got some prayer. I talked to her on the phone. She said this. She went to her eye doctor. Previously, she had 20/70 vision in that eye. And now the eye doctor said she has 20/30 vision in that eye. And then I was saying something like, "Lori, that's amazing. That's great." She said, no, stop. Wait, hold on. Let me tell you what the doctor said. She said, "The doctor sat down with me and explained to me, you know, people's eyes don't normally get better." She said, "Well, I've been receiving prayer and my eyes are getting better." How awesome is that? God still works miracles today. Don't lose sight of that. You've got to hear that so you can have faith, because faith comes from hearing. But here's the most important one of all. God has a purpose for your life. You've got to hear that. God has a plan for you. It's special. It's individualized. God wants to use you. Here's implication number three. If I want my faith to grow, I have to be regularly listening to the Word of God. Let me say this as well. Regularly reading the Word of God, regularly studying the Word of God, and regularly listening to the Word of God. That Romans 10:17 in the ESV is right there. Here's Romans 10:17 in the New King James Version. It says this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, you've got to be in God's Word. If you want to be growing in your faith, let me ask that question of you. How many of you here want to say, "I want my faith to grow"? Just raise your hand. "I want my faith to grow." Then you've got to be in God's Word, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Studying God's Word, being in God's Word. But let me boldly also say this to you. You need to be in church. You need to consistently go to church to hear God's Word sung and to hear God's Word preached. Be in church. Actually, here, I'll tell you like this. Our theme for this fall is Go Deeper. That's our new Romans logo, because we'll never stop studying the book of Romans, it seems, at this moment. That's our new logo for Romans right there. I want to give you four challenges for you to go deeper in your faith. Number one, go to church consistently so you can be hearing the Word of God. Number two challenge is this. Plug into a Spring Hills University class. Our classes begin next Sunday night. It's a great way to meet people, a great way to grow. Let me tell you some of the classes that we're offering. How to study the Bible, Pastor Jeff Houghton. How to minister to others, Pastor Jeff Smith. How to establish healthy boundaries and relationships, Lisa Farsht. I'm teaching a class on foundations. And listen, if you're new to our church or new to faith, you want to come to my foundations class to grow spiritually. John and Julie Ubel are teaching a class called Christian Financial Principles. Listen, you probably need that class. There's only 5 spots left open. Christian Financial Principles. Beginning Sign Language. We have the Shape class, learning about your spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, experience. A class from Clay Humphrey called Next Steps. What's my next step? How do I grow spiritually? Next Steps. Jerry Workman's teaching a class on the authority of Scripture. And Dr. Carl Strauss teaching a class on Daniel, Zechariah, the temple, and the second coming. Listen, you need to take one of these classes. It's only 6 weeks. It's only 6 weeks Sunday night, and you will grow as you go deeper. Number three, here's my third challenge for you. Get involved with one of our 26 ministries. Now, look in the back of the room for a second. Each of our ministries has a ministry board, and I'm going to give you time this morning to go and look at those ministry boards, get a map, get a bag, go look at all of them. You might get involved in a ministry so you can grow, or you might get involved in a ministry so you can serve. I want to challenge a few of you to think about, I want to, once a month, I'm going to worship in one service, perhaps 9 o'clock, and then serve in the next service at 11 in the nursery or Journeyland or in some way. But get involved in one of our 26 ministries. Go back and look at those things. And then number 4, I want to challenge every one of you with this. And I'm serious about this challenge. Number 4, every one of you, I want to challenge you to go deeper by going on a mission trip. Now, next July, we're going to go back to the Philippines. There it is, right there. Here's a picture of me preaching in the Philippines, and you can go back with us to the Philippines and be part of that trip. You can go and do it with us and see God work. Now, I know some of you are wondering, and you're saying, Pastor Tom, that trip probably is expensive, and that trip is going to take a few weeks of my life, and I just can't go all the way to the Philippines. Some of you are feeling called to go, but some of you can't go. Well, I want to challenge you to go on a mission trip to this beautiful, amazing place that we call Licking County, Ohio. Let me tell you about Licking County for a second. Here's the 2011 population of Licking County. It was 167,248. Church attendance in Licking County is right about 40% of people in Licking County attend church. That means that 40% is 66,000 people in our county go to church. That means those 66,000 are hearing the word of God. They're hearing it. Faith comes by hearing, and they're in church hearing about Christ. But this means that 60% of people in Licking County, that's over 100,000 people, are not hearing about faith in Christ. Everyone who calls on the Lord can be saved, but this 100,000 isn't even hearing about Jesus. So I want to invite you to come on a mission trip to Licking County. You see, at the end of October, we're going to be putting on a dramatic production right here in this room. The production is called Eternity. How many guys were here or you saw the Eternity production last time that we did? We're doing it again. Eternity works like this. It's a drama about heaven and hell, and people can come and see what happens after you die. We're calling this a mission trip to Central Ohio. And I invite all of you, when you're walking around looking at those ministries, there's a whole table about eternity. We need people to help us build sets. We need security people. We need parking lot people, nursery people, people to work at the altars to help those that make a decision. And we need people for eternity to be powerfully used by God as actors and actresses. And so go back and see, can you be involved in that eternity production that we're putting on October 24th through the 31st? Let me say one last thing. Just remind you. Here's my challenge. You want to go deeper? Go to church consistently. What's consistently? Every week, on time. Thank you. Number 2. You're laughing because I said on time, aren't you? Yeah, exactly. Number 2, plug into a Spring Hills University class. Number 3, get involved in one of our 26 ministries. Number 4, go on a mission trip around the world or in Licking County. Let me remind you of this thing. What we do with Jesus Christ is life and death for us. This is a picture of the place where my dad was before he died. This is the VA home. My dad was in the Air Force, and this is the VA home in Georgetown. When they told us there that my dad was passing away, we made the decision to have him transferred to the hospice wing of the VA hospital. So they took my dad out of the lockdown Alzheimer's unit where he was, and they took his bed into the hospice wing of that hospital. After being there for some time, we called the family, and they all began driving to be with my dad in his last hours. And I clearly understood that every room in the hospice wing had someone who was dying. Some of them were immobile. They were just laying in beds. Some of them could get up and walk, but they were all in that dying process in that wing of the hospital. The chaplain came in to meet with us and was surprised when he walked in, and we had 4 pastors in the room. That was surprising to the chaplain. But the chaplain told us, he said, I'm so glad to see a family here with their loved one. He said this, it really gripped me. He said, most men in this VA home, most of them die alone because they've outlived their family or the family's too far away to travel. He said, but most of them, they just lived a rough life and they ran their family off. So as I walked down that hallway in the 30 hours that my dad was passing away, I looked in these rooms. There was one room right across from my dad's room. We saw it every time we left my dad's room, and here was the nameplate. Donald was the person's name. Now, Donald, you could see Donald in the room. He never got out of bed, but Donald would watch TV, and they'd bring food to Donald. He would eat food. And every time we walked past him, we saw Donald. My wife, Tracy, she would just grab my hand, and she'd say, "Something about him. The Spirit is pricking me." So her word, pricking me, to go pray with him. I said, "Honey, we'll go pray with Donald. Don't worry." So we were walking in and out a few times, and near the end of, for my dad, a few hours before he died, we walked out of his room, and my wife waved at Donald in his bed. And Donald waved back at my wife. And she grabbed my hand in a way only a wife can, and she said, "We have to go pray with him." So I walk into Donald's room. He's watching TV. It was especially loud. We walk in the room. Dan, my brother, walks in with me. If you guys know Dan, he and his wife are our preschool directors here. And Dan walks in with me, and we walk up to Donald. And I said, "Donald," real loud so he could hear me. I said, "Donald, we're here to pray with you." And he looked back at me. His face was real hard. And he said real clearly, he said, "I don't pray." Here's a man laying in a bed, dying all alone, saying, "I don't pray. I don't want anything to do with God." I said, "Donald, we're here to pray for you, so we're just going to pray for you." And Dan took his remote off of his, laying on his belly, and Dan reached over, grabbed the remote, and Donald looked at him like, "I was an ex-Marine and I could kill you right now if I could get out of this bed." Dan turned the TV down, and I prayed for Donald that he would come to faith in Christ. Dan turned the TV back up and gave him the remote, and I walked out of the room. Honestly, when I walked out of that room, I said, "God, I did my part. I'll give Donald to you." But we walked out, and my wife grabbed my arm again. She said, "That's not enough. I can't leave him like that. I can't leave him in there dying without Christ." I said, "Honey, yeah." My sister-in-law, Brittany Palm, was there. Brittany's our preschool director with her husband, Dan. And Tracy went to Brittany, and she was like, "Brittany, we can't leave him in there like that." Brittany said, "Okay, we're not going to leave him in there." So Brittany and Tracy said, "We're going to go back in and talk to Donald." I said, "Okay." So we walk back in. Brittany and Tracy go first, and I'm kind of following behind with Dan, my other brother, and we all walk in, and Brittany walks up, and she says, "Donald, we're here to tell you about Jesus." And Donald rolls his eyes like, "Oh my gosh, didn't I tell you people I don't pray?" I thought, "Oh, he doesn't want to hear," and so I just kind of walked out, and they're talking. After a minute, I thought, "Well, I'll go back in." I walk back in, and there's Tracy and Brittany, and Donald's not really listening, and Brittany's saying, "And Jesus died for your sins, and you can accept him today, and God loves you." And I walk back out again, and I'm not sure what happened in like the 3 minutes I was out, but I walk back in, and Donald was crying, and Brittany was stroking his 80-year-old face, stroking it with love, and Brittany said, my sister-in-law, she said, "Donald, I love you." And Donald said, "I love you, and I love Jesus." I said, "What the heck happened in those 3 minutes when I was out of the room?" And Brittany said, "We prayed for him. We prayed with him. He accepted Christ. He's going to heaven. He's crying in that bed. I couldn't believe it." It's life and death, what you do with Jesus Christ. And I want you to ask yourself this question. When you come to the end of your life, in that hallway on the right side, there was my dad, who's led thousands of people to Christ, dying surrounded by his family. When he died, I was holding his hand, we were all with him. I was praying out loud. Angels were ready to receive him into glory. Is that gonna be you when you die? Or are you gonna be all alone, unsure of your relationship with God? Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. Let's bow our heads. Listen, I'm just going to pray. The prayer I'm going to pray is a very simple prayer of salvation. It's a prayer that if you pray with me, you'll be expressing faith in God and inviting Christ to come in your life. Paul says, don't ask who's going to ascend to heaven or descend to the abyss. Don't even ask that question. Don't even wonder about yourself. Pray and accept Christ today. Let me pray with you this prayer. I'll pray out loud. You pray quietly. If you want to accept Christ, today is your day. Let's pray. The prayer goes like this. I'll say out loud. You say quietly. Father God, just repeat that quietly. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I know I've made mistakes. I know I've committed sins. But I ask you to forgive me. And Jesus Christ, I know you died for me and rose from the dead. Come into my life. I give my life to you. I repent of my sin. I will follow you. In your name I pray. Listen, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And if you just pray that prayer with me right now, just raise your hand just so I can get a glimpse. If you prayed that prayer, raise your hand. Thank you. About 10 of you or so. I want you all open your eyes. Listen, if you prayed that prayer just now, I want you to take the bulletin. I want you to take that bulletin and I want you to take that little section. You just prayed the prayer with me. I want you to tear this section off and write your name on there. Check the box that says, I accepted Christ today, and I will personally call you this week and follow up on that decision that you just made. Listen, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. We're just going to sing a little bit. I'm going to release you to look at every single one of these ministry areas and get involved in some ministry right now. So why don't you stand with me, if you would. We're just going to sing a little bit of this song.
Strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned from the ones he came to save, till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth a glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
Thank you. We thank you, God, for this morning and this day. We thank you for salvation that comes by faith alone in Jesus Christ. And Father, we praise your name today. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to release you now to go ahead and look at those ministry boards and just take your time back there checking those things out. God bless every one of you. That was a little Tiny Tim for you right there.